This morning, I want to talk to you about the past, the present, and the future. So I'm calling this the past, the present, and the future. And on Friday night, we shared a little bit about foundations. And foundations lead to the ability to build a house. If we have a good foundation, we can build a good house. Now, our foundation, the foundation of our life, is life. We have a life foundation. And we have a life-giving foundation. The foundation of my life is life. Can you say that? The foundation of my life is life. Now, Jesus Christ is life. So we're going to articulate that the foundation of everything in my life, everything in your life, is Jesus Christ. But technically, that means the foundation of our lives is life, which means the foundation of my life is life-giving. Life-giving. Now, how do I know I have a life-giving foundation? If the foundation of my marriage is life-giving, then I'm going to be life-giving to my wife. If the foundation of my family is life-giving, then I'm going to be life-giving to my children. If the foundation of this church is life-giving, then we're going to be life-giving to one another. If the foundation of my business, my farm, my ability to teach in school, if it's life, then I'm going to be life-giving to my workers. I'm going to be life-giving to my associates. I'm going to be life-giving to my fellow people in my sphere of responsibility. I'm going to be life-giving. Now, how would we know that we are life-giving? People within those places, whether it be our marriage, our spouse, our family, our children, our business, our associates, our employees, our school, our fellow students, or our students that we teach, they would all come alive in some way because of us. If I'm life-giving, then you come alive when I get around you. So pay attention to what's happening to people that you spend time with. Do you give them life? Now, if you spend time with people who are constantly taking life from you, you might want to consider spending your time more wisely. Because if you're always spending time with people who are taking life, now, there's a difference between people who are receiving life and people who are taking life. You want to be around people who receive life. Because you give life. And then you want to be a receiving person to receive the life of the people you're around. Now, you're going to be in the world with people who don't know how to receive. So you just be a good life giver there and don't receive the death they try to give you. So the foundation of your life is life. And the foundation of your life is life giving. Now, 1 year ago in August, I was here and I shared something with you. I talked to you about stones in a mountain. I said, every mountain is made of stones. Do you remember that? And I said that life-giving mountains are filled with life-giving stones and mountains of death are filled with stones that can kill you. Any stone in a mountain that is a mountain of death can kill you when thrown at you. The law without Christ is not life-giving. It's a mountain of death. And if you don't line up with the mountain of death, the stones from the mountain can kill you. If they get thrown at you, you die. So if you take law and you throw it at people, it will kill them. Because that's not a life-giving mountain. Now, in this room, you can kind of see it. If you look carefully, there are shadows. Because there's light in this room. Do you see shadows? I see some chair shadows, some people shadows. It's a little bit incandescent light, so it doesn't throw good shadows. There's a little shadow over there. But these shadows are not real. They're just a testimony of something that casts that shadow. Is that correct? So there's no shadow in this room that is anything but a real shadow. It's not a real thing. It's a real shadow. The law was the shadow of the good thing to come. So it's not a real thing. It's a real shadow. The law is a real shadow. So we could even then take, now listen to me carefully, and please do not put up a real thing like a blinder to what I'm trying to say to you. The scripture by itself is truth in the sense that it is a shadow of truth, because Jesus is the truth. So to understand scripture, you need to experience Jesus. And then from that vantage point, you can understand scripture. If you think you've experienced Jesus, but you can't find a shadow of him in scripture, then you're experiencing a different Jesus. So you need both. You need the scripture, the shadow that tells you, yep, that's the real Jesus. But then you need Jesus to understand scripture. And scripture without Jesus can be used to destroy you. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundant. Do you like that verse? I like that verse. I pioneered a ministry 28 years ago on that verse. Woo! The thief came to destroy, kill, steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life that you might have life more abundant. But if you read the context of John chapter 9 and John chapter 10 up to that verse, we know that the devil is a thief, right? We know that, right? Every devil is a thief. He's a liar. He steals, he kills, he destroys. This is true. But the context of John chapter 9 and 10, if you don't just pull a verse out of context, the context is everyone who came before Jesus, everything that came before Jesus is a thief and a robber. The law came before Jesus, and without Jesus, the law is a thief and a robber. It will steal, kill, and destroy you. Okay, now don't get offended at me and don't pull the verse out of context. Read the whole thing. Be a little educated. Read the whole thing together, because Jesus is not talking about the devil in John 10:10. He's talking about the law without him, the prophets without him, the law without him, everything that came before him without him cannot be life. So I'm saying that to tell you that in your life, Jesus Christ has to be the foundation of your life. Now, when Jesus Christ is the foundation of your life, then scripture can play a huge role in you understanding Jesus, and it should play a huge role in you understanding Jesus. But if Jesus Christ is not the foundation of your life, if scripture is the foundation of your life, you will misunderstand it, you will misinterpret it, and you will kill yourself with it, and you will kill others. And you will prove to be a thief and a robber. All right? Because that is not what the mountain of God is based upon. It's not based upon scripture. It's based upon Jesus Christ. And scripture is a witness to that. So this is not either or. This is both and. You need both. Okay? Now, so I told you a year ago that stones of offense judged by what something is, not who someone is. So if you judge others by scripture, and you judge them by what the scripture says, instead of judging them by what scripture is, or judging them by who they are, you will kill them. All right, now. I'm also going to say that in my marriage, and I told you this a year ago, if I judge my wife by being a wife, at some point I'm going to kill her. Yeah, because Jesus said, if you hate someone in your heart, you commit murder. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've hated my wife in my heart sometimes. And she's hated me. And if you haven't, you are greatly deceived or the greatest liar in the house. Now, here's really good news. His mercy triumphs over every judgment. And when you and I get stupid and make a judgment of somebody based on what they are, God never makes that mistake concerning us. He judges us by being his children, not believers. A believer is what I am, but it's not who I am. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. All right, so now I'm trying to go somewhere with this. So if I judge my wife by being my wife, a wife, I have an idea what a wife should do, which is really stupid. I'm a guy. How in the world would I know how a woman should act? Come on, isn't that dumb, guys? If we judge our wives by being a wife, we don't even have that kind of PMS, which is a once a month thing. We have PMS, which is a 30 day a month thing. Permanent man syndrome. That's what we got. Or ladies, how about this? You make a judgment of your husband according to how you think. Come on, you're a lady. You don't think like a guy. You don't get it. Okay? You don't attach to dirt like he does. I mean, who in the world would want to attach to dirt in the first place? And a guy saying, who in the world would want to attach to heart in the first place? There's dirt to deal with. Come on now, this is a great mystery. We need a miracle. We need a third strand in the relationship. We need God. We need Jesus Christ as the foundation, or we're really going to kill one another. We are. Okay, so now, so we can't define one another by what we are. So here's who we are. And I told you this a year ago, I'm reminding you, here's who you are. Precious. My wife is precious to me, which means that would be like me. Let's all hold our breath and see how long we can hold our breath. And let's see if air is precious to us or not. Right? Harry, you got a better revelation on this than the rest of us. Because if the batteries aren't included, you know exactly how precious air is, right, buddy? So if you want to know how precious air is, we take it for granted. Go talk to Harry. He'll explain to you how precious air is, all right? Or if we want to know how precious water is, let's just not drink any for the next 2 days. And we'll see if water is precious to us. Or how about this? Let's go for this week and let's just not eat any food. And let's see if food is precious. We could go a couple of weeks or a few weeks. You know, you can go a little while without food, but you can only go a few days without water, and you can't go very long without air. These things are precious to you. How do you know it's precious? You die without them. Okay, so I am one flesh with my wife, which means I die without her. I die without her. Her and I are one flesh. We're not two people. We're one flesh, which means I die without her. Which, if she were to die, I need then a new birth to become a one person again so that I can then move forward. I need a miracle. And God does these things. But in the meantime, until that miracle is needed, you need the miracle revelation to understand that in a marriage, you are precious to one another. In a church community, you are precious to one another. In a city, you should be precious to one another. We are the community. I'm telling you right now, God is bringing you to be a community influencer. But you have to know that the foundation then has to be based on who, not what. So Jesus Christ is precious to me. I cannot live without him. Friday night, we talked about how in the foundation is Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 3, and we cannot build on any other foundation than Jesus Christ. And if we build, we need to build with materials that match who Jesus Christ is. Because if we build with things that can be consumed by fire, such as straw, hay, or wood, they'll simply be totally consumed. Oh, we'll be saved, but just as escaping the flames. And so God wants us to build our lives, build our marriages, build our community, build our businesses, build our expressions in the earth, build our friendships. He wants us to build our lives with materials that endure fire. Materials that fire actually makes better. And those materials are gold, silver, precious stone. And we mentioned Friday night. Not too many people could be here, and so the message is recorded, but I'm getting to this morning because I want us to understand God is doing something. I'm talking about the past, the present, and the future, and I'm going to give you a little prophetic nugget about who you are as individuals and as a people, what God is doing. God is doing something on the earth that is precious. God is doing something on the earth that endures. And the stones in our lives are life-giving stones. So they have to be life, precious. I'm dead without them. I'm dead without them. If we had a revelation about who we are, we could overcome any situation. But when we don't have a revelation of who we are, we're willing to overcome in some situations and then let other situations overcome us. I've watched this pattern many times in my 46 and a half years as a believer, and now many times in my 30 some years as a leader in the church. I've watched many times people's relationships fail because they were not willing to overcome. I've watched people exit church communities because they were not willing to overcome. I've watched people give up on their marriages because they were not willing to overcome. Now, God does not expect you to overcome anything independently from Him. God does not expect you to have to be strong in order to overcome. He expects you to allow Him to be strong in order to overcome. But the only way that can happen is if Jesus Christ is the foundation of your life. Jesus Christ is the foundation of your marriage. Jesus Christ is the foundation of your job. When you wake up tomorrow, you get in your truck, you're going to go do a delivery. Jesus Christ is the foundation of your day. He's the one who's going to determine whether your day is good or bad. Your day is going to be filled with good things and bad things. And if your day is filled with good things, that should not be what determines your good day. What should determine your good day is Jesus Christ is the foundation of this day. Therefore, bad things can happen, and it's still going to be okay because Jesus Christ is the foundation of this day. If you expect circumstance and situations to be the foundation of your day, you're making yourself vulnerable to failure, to being overcome, to being stepped upon, to being trampled upon, to being wounded, rejected, and put into despair. Now, the foundation of our life is life. The rock is Christ. The history of City Life Church. You were established, 35 years ago as a church. Some of you, there's amazingly 40-some people part of this church community that have been here that long. Blessings to all of you who have been through the 35 years. And those of you who have been here from the very beginning, you know something like this, that the foundation of this church was built on prayer, praise, and perseverance. Am I right, Pastor? Prayer, praise, and perseverance. Very interesting, because prophetically I've come to tell you three words that match prayer, praise, and perseverance. I'm not saying them yet, but I'm going to tell you that God has evolved from the foundation into the walls, into the house, and He wants to remind you of the foundation. But the foundation cannot be in the past. The foundation of the past has to be in the present. Or it's not a foundation of your life, it's a foundation of someone else's life. So the foundations always have to be new. In Ezra, when they reset the foundation of the temple that had been destroyed, when they set the foundation of the temple, Ezra 3 verse 10, somewhere in there, when they set the foundation of the temple, people who had never seen the temple, because it had been missing for 70 years, when they set the foundation, some people went, woo-hoo, woo, woo, whoa, oh, oh, they shouted, because there was hope of something finally happening. But then there were people who were old and they remembered the past temple. And they began to weep. They began to cry. And the weeping was as loud as the shout. This has been present to me because I've got some experiences and some circumstances in my own life where foundations have had to be reset and re-seen, re-envisioned. And I gave a, it's happening in A-Life up in Bellingham. And A-Life, I told them, I said, it's good that this house has a shout and a weeping. But let the weeping of those who remember not be weeping because what is less than. But let it be a weeping because there's hope again. There's a difference between weeping because of what was lost and weeping because what was lost can be found again. One is a weeping from human sorrow. The other is a weeping from Holy Spirit joy. And the truth is, in our lives, in our marriages, in our singleness, in our widowhood, in our families, in our community, in our farms, in our businesses, in our school places, in our lives, there should be both a shout and a weeping, and the shout should be because there's hope of new things to come, and the weeping should be because we remember the why, and there's hope again that what was can become new and more than was ever seen before. So the people of God in Deming should have both a shout and a weeping that's louder than any other noise in the city. Louder than any other noise. You know, if you had that in your life, you wouldn't even be able to hear the devil when he tries to talk to you. I mean, some of you hear the devil because you got no phone conversation going on with heaven. You got an open line. My goodness, he should be getting a busy signal, at least most of the time. You should be considering light more than you consider darkness. You should be considering life more than you consider death. And once in a while, let a little shot come on in, and then you overwhelm it with goodness. So, on this foundation, prayer, praise, and perseverance. So I'm going to give you four things that I believe this church has been in its history. Because I believe that this church has been a church of hearing. You started out in prayer, praise, and perseverance. You were a people who would hear God. Very important. We have to hear God. I believe in the history of us as a church community. Very important. A non-negotiable. We have to hear God. In order to pray, in order to praise, in order to persevere, we have to hear God. But then this church also evolved to understand it's not enough to hear. We also have to do some things. We need to be a people of faith, and works without faith is dead. Faith without works is dead, so there's got to be some work. So I believe that in the history of the foundation of prayer, praise, and perseverance, that this church is also a church of doing. So you're a church of hearing, a church of doing. But I'm also going to say that I believe that when you were the river, when you were a river in the desert, that you became more than a church of doing, but you started to become a church of living. You started to be a church of living. That you weren't just enough. You can't pray praise and persevere by just being a church that hears or just being a church that does. You got to experience some life. And so some river, some water actually did start flowing in the desert, and some people started to come alive. And so I believe in the history of this prayer, praise and perseverance from the foundation of Jesus Christ in these things, that this church has a history in his story of being a church that hears, that does, and lives. But I believe that you've come to a fourth transition in your journey, and you've been becoming, some have been challenged, and I'll tell you how the challenge works and how the failure works in a moment. So the challenge is, it's not enough to be a church that's living, you have to be a church that's giving. And you have a hearing, a faith that was a hearing, a faith that was a doing, a faith that was a living, and a faith that's increasingly becoming a giving. You're not just a community, you're a community that reaches a community. And there's only one way you can be a life-giving community that reaches the community with life. You have to be a life-giving community. Because if you're not a life-giving community, you got nothing to give to the community that's community. Now, a life-taking community is not concerned with the community beyond you. That's not really a life-giving community. That might be a church that's living. Now, anything written in stone kills. Engraved stones build created stones for graves. Engraved stones build created stones for graves. They're stones that are bound to remember when. Any stone that is bound to remember when is a covenant killer. If your marriage is built on stones that are bound to remember when you did, any marriage that's bound to remember when stones are engraved stones that are destined to cause your marriage to become a grave. We need more than remember when stones. We need hearing stones. Living stones create life-giving pathways. Only what is written on the heart can give life, but the heart is meant to be an expanding chamber of heaven's grace. I'm going to say that again. In my marriage, in my singlehood, my widowhood, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my job, on my farm, in my truck, in my life. Only that which is written on the heart, only that which is written on my heart can give life. But my heart is meant to be an expanding chamber of heaven's grace. My heart is meant to be an expanding chamber of heaven's grace. My heart in my marriage with my wife is meant to be an expanding chamber for heaven's grace. Now, grace changes you. Mercy frees you from rocks that kill you. Law requires a judgment, always. And there's only one judgment that can free you from law. Mercy! Because all other judgments leave you in the grave. That's where they leave you. They kill you. When you break the law kills you. If you want to know how it works, go check out gravity. It is a law. You cannot break laws. You can only violate them, and then they break you. Go to the tallest place around here and jump off, and gravity will kill you. Even though gravity's really helping you right now. If there was no gravity in this room, can you imagine? I'm trying to talk to you, man. We're floating all around. I can't even. Oh, wait a minute. I'll be back in a minute. Oh, you know, man, I need gravity to just keep my bearings. Thank you, gravity. You serve me. Gravity, thank you. You are under me. I'm not under gravity. Thank you. Thank you. I know your place, and I respect you. So I'm going to let you serve me. I'm going to let you serve me. But I'm not under the law of gravity. The law of gravity is under me. Now, the only way that you can get around a law is to supersede it with a higher law. This is what Jesus did. See, he didn't judge us by Torah law. He didn't judge us by a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. He didn't judge you or I by whether you were good or evil. He judged you by a higher law. Now, he knew he couldn't break that law. So what he did is he got on that law. The cross was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus was the tree of life. The tree of life stretched out his hands and allowed the tree of life to be nailed to the tree of death. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a human being. An eternal Adam put his arms out to be nailed to the tree of first Adam because he knew that life is more powerful than death. And he didn't put his body on the cross so that he wouldn't die. He put his body on the cross because he knew that when he did die, he would raise from the dead. And he didn't want to make it possible for you to not die. He wanted to make it possible for you to never die again. He made it, he didn't give you life. He gave you resurrection life. You've been born again. And the sound of your life is, cannot die, can't die, cannot die, already did it, cannot die, I'm back, here I am again, I cannot die. Man, you should live with resurrection life now. Get it now, because how you leave a thing is how you enter the next thing, so you sure don't want to leave this life without resurrection from the dead. You don't want to leave this life without eternal life. And by the way, eternal life is to know God your Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Do you know God your Father? Do you know Jesus Christ the Son? Is your life built on that foundation in all things increasingly? Because that's eternal life. And if you know that now, you'll know that forever. Paradise is not a place where everything works. Paradise is where everything is filled with the presence of God. Now I know it will work. I need that now. I got that now, increasingly. All right, so living stones. So if we hold on to the past, so let me give you some statements. If we hold on to a past of being a hearing church, we can become a monument that seeks to destroy a doing church. A doing church can become a monument that seeks to destroy a living church. A living church can become a monument that seeks to destroy a giving church. But what if the church is really hearing, doing, living, and giving? What if the foundation is not stuck in the past, but the foundation is in a life-giving place? What if the foundation of being a hearing church is Jesus Christ, not hearing? What if the foundation of being a doing church is Jesus Christ, not doing? What if the foundation of being a living church is Jesus Christ, not living? What if the foundation of being a giving church is Jesus Christ, not giving? If that's the case, then we can become a church that is hearing. We can become a church that's hearing, doing, living, giving. And then just maybe we'll live in a place called now. And we'll bring the glory of God in a new way. Come on. I want to be a person of faith. a ministry of works that speaks of faith, a ministry that experiences the life that faith can bring, to become a faith-empowered community that gives life to the community around us. Come on. So to be a community that brings life to the community of Deming, we're going to have to be a life-giving community. We can't do things in Deming and be life-giving. We have to be life-giving so that the things that we do release life-giving. So it isn't about doing the right thing, or who's doing the right thing, or doing the wrong thing, or who's doing the wrong thing. It's the question is, are we life-giving in our doing? So on Friday night, I mentioned that the temple of God, Solomon, was a shadow of it. We could find in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17. Solomon built a temple which was a shadow of the temple. But the temple that God lives in is you. Now, there are many expressions of that. All of us in this room are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't need you to do anything for Him. He wants you to be the place where He rests. He wants to be the place that where He lives. He doesn't want you to build a tower so that you can climb high enough to discover Him. He wants you to humble yourself and open your heart so that you can discover He's already willing to move into your life right at your level, right where you are, and He wants to rest in your life. The only way you're going to be able to do any works in this life that are works of destiny is to live from the place where God is resting in your life. If you don't do that, what you're going to do is you're going to do things and you're going to get tired and you're going to get disappointed. You're going to get frustrated. You may end up getting married and you've been married 2 times, 3 times. You may end up getting a job. Now this is the 16th job that you've had. You may start a business. Now this is the 3rd time round. You may go to a church and now this is the 10th one you've been to. And you're a vagabond. You're wandering because you're looking for the place of life and you're looking, where can I find rest. It isn't about where can you find rest. It's where does God rest? In the creation of mankind, the very first thing that Adam experienced was God resting in his life. Have you read it? From God's perspective, man was created on day 6. What did God do on day 7? He rested. It's meant to be covenantal terms. Don't get in debates over how it practically looked or practically didn't look. Come on. Major on the important thing. The important thing is, do you understand that no human being can go to work without their first day being God resting in their life? No marriage is going to work without its first day being a day where God rests in this life. And if you got a marriage that didn't start out that way, your marriage needs to be born again. You need to discover right now today needs to be the first day of the rest of the life of your marriage. If you started a business and Jesus Christ was not the first day of your business, God was not resting in your business, you need your business to get born again. Because you're going to be working so hard and frustrated and tired and you're going to think, well, why can't I rest? I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is your rest. He is your Sabbath. And when you live in Him, you can do all things. You can do things. You can leap a wall. You can take on a troop. You can overcome all things when God rests in your life. So when Solomon built the temple is a place where God would live. But you are the temple. It's a place where God lives. The most important thing about your life is you are a place where God lives. When you came out of your mama's womb, the most important thing about you is, whoa, there's a place where God lives. Some of you took 40 years to figure it out, or maybe you're here today and you haven't figured it out. Well, you know what? Today's the day you need to get born again. You're a place where God lives. God doesn't need you to do anything for him. Do you honestly think you're going to do God's stuff in life and impress him? Do you honestly think you can make your marriage work? Wow. Right on. Best thing you could do is create a slave out of your spouse, and now you pretend it's a marriage. Or you manipulate your spouse, your husband, as a puppet, and now you pretend you got a husband. Or you manipulate the church to meet your needs. Come on now. Getting quiet in here. Come on now. What we need is to realize you were born to be a house of God. God lives in you. Are you going to his house? Of course you are, because he's already in your house. Come on. He says, Mis casa, su casa, mi casa. Come on. He wants you to understand. You see, God doesn't live some faraway place that you can hide and get away with doing things. God is like right there. The entrance is through your heart. Heaven is not out in outer space past Pluto somewhere. Heaven is a dimension you cannot see, and it's constantly trying to invade your life. And you either receive it or you resist it. But one day you'll be caught up into that breath. One day you'll be caught up into that dimension, and there'll be nothing corruptible left. And that'll be a good day, but what do you say till we make today a good day? So Solomon made this temple, and he used three kinds of stones. I mentioned it Friday night. He said he used large stones. He used precious stones, and he used cut stones. Large stones are stones that don't move very easy because they're large. They don't get shaken very easy. Friday night, I mentioned three things that the New Testament uses to describe these, because Jesus Christ is the foundation, and he wants the materials of your life to be like gold, silver, and precious stone. Things that fire only makes better. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about being spiritual. It doesn't talk about spiritual gifts. That's only one of three things it talks about. It talks about being spiritual. So to be spiritual, you need the charisma, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be a part of the ministry of Jesus. A nose, an eye, a finger, something. And you need to be part of the work of God in the earth, doing something that is for the purpose of the will of the Father. But then in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, but really the greatest of anything is love. Because God is love. So if you do all these things, but you don't have love, you don't have anything. Now, it isn't do these things. It isn't forget about doing these things because love is more important. It's not either or. It's both and. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you cannot really love. Without a few words of knowledge, a few words of wisdom, some prophecy, some discerning of spirits, it's impossible for you to really love. You're fumbling around in the dark trying to make it up. You're a house of God, for goodness sake. God is in you. But love is the testimony. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, three things eternally remain. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Jesus Christ is the foundation for us to be a church that is hearing, doing, living, and giving. I'm grabbing all of that to be a house of prayer, praise, and perseverance. I'm going to call to be a house of prayer, you're going to need some faith. And that's been true in this church for 35 years. But it's not true today in exactly the same way as it was 35 years ago. is true in a greater way today than it was 35 years ago. You know, 35 years ago, it was true 100%. Today, it's true 100%. It's just that the 100% today is greater than the 100% 35 years ago. I've known Jesus for 46 years, 46 and a half years, and my relationship with God today is 100%. 46 and a half years ago, my relationship with Him was 100%. But the 100% today is greater than the 100% 46 and a half years ago. And if I love Him with the measure that I had 46 and a half years ago, I'm not really loving Him. It's like my marriage. Don't confuse first experiences with first love. Hey, when my wife married me, I look different than I do now. Back then, if an old guy like me walked up to her, she would not have even been interested. And she would not have married me. Because she didn't marry who I am today, she married who I was yesterday. We had a first experience. We had several first experiences. It was wonderful. We can never return to our first experiences. And if we do, we're going to use remember when stones and we're going to kill one another. Because the best those things are as pictures in a scrapbook. The best those things are is things that we can remember. Now, the pictures in the scrapbook can create something that's wonderful. It's called tears in the living room and a moment now. And the tears in the living room and the moment now is more valuable than the snapshot. Because again, it's a new first experience. Some first experiences are filled with pain. Do you understand that pain is a measurement of love? If you've got pain in your life, if you've experienced pain, wow. You're somebody who knows what love is. Because if there's no measurement of pain, there's no real measurement of love. And there should be a measurement of joy, many measurements. All of those feelings, all of those emotions, all those are the things that says, you're alive. It's when you don't feel pain that you're in trouble. Or when you don't feel joy. You need to feel both. So faith, stones of faith are stones that hear God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now that can be a monument that you have written as the scripture, Romans quoted, and you can kill people with it because you measure others by whether they have faith or not. You know, you cannot measure anyone else as to whether they have faith or not. Impossible. So stop it. You can't measure them whether they have faith or not because faith comes by hearing in the heart and you don't live in their heart. You live in your own. And if you measure them by what your faith is, you are not measuring them by faith. You are measuring them by law and you are taking that law that you call faith and trying to kill them. It's true. So, stones of faith. I want my life to be built on faith. Now, I told you Friday night, but I got to tell you today because I want to make sure everybody gets this weekend. Faith comes by hearing God, and hearing God works through, faith works through what? Love. Pastor knows the answer. Faith works through love. That could say, where I don't have a revelation of love, faith isn't going to work. When I don't have a revelation of love, faith isn't going to work. Faith is not a belief system. Faith is a supernatural result of hearing God in your heart. And to hear God rightly, you have to have a revelation. He loves me. Well, it'll make you a large stone as a temple of God, a large stone in your marriage, a place where God lives. You, your wife, you, your husband, you, your spouse, and God, Jesus Christ, the foundation, is going to be unshakable when there's a revelation of, I was born to be loved. He loves me. So Friday night, I said, one of the places I go on planet Earth is Luanda, Angola. I'll be there again in October. And when I go there, it's built for 650,000 people, but there are 6.5 million people who live there. There's space for 650,000. There's 6.5 million. So you could be one in 6.5 million. But the truth is, there's not a single person who lives there that is one in 6.5 million. Nobody. One day I was there, because there's so many people, to go from like here to the hotel where I'm staying could take you 2 hours because of traffic. And so people sell things out in the middle of the road. And one day I saw a guy selling a picture that was about this tall of Mona Lisa. For goodness sakes, I'm the only white guy I've seen all day, and they're trying to sell a Mona Lisa. Who in the world here is going to buy a Mona Lisa? And then they had a mirror the same size as Mona Lisa. And God spoke to me about that just in the last week, reminded me of it. And he said, that was prophetic significant that you saw that in the street of Luanda, because they're out there selling a replica of a one and only. Mona wasn't the most beautiful woman on planet Earth, but she's perhaps the most popular because someone saw her beauty. And they painted Mona. And Mona's gone all over the world. They're even making replicas of Mona and selling the picture of Mona on the street in the midst of 6.5 million people in Luanda, Angola, Africa, for goodness sakes. Mona, 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 look where your pictures ended up. Because somebody saw who you were. But then right next to Mona was a mirror the same size, and that's what I want you to take home with you. Because when you look in the mirror, who do you see? You see yourself. You're a one and only. You're not just somebody in Deming. You are a one and only. Come on, I had 6 sisters, 3 brothers, but I'm not number 10. I'm a one and only. You're a one and only. I want to heal your mirror, so that you can be a family that hears, that does, that lives, and that gives. Okay, so true prayer is not what you say with your lips. True prayer is you being you in connection with God, because your prayer has to be a revelation of, He loves me. I promise you, your prayer has changed in 35 years. You used to pray prayers as to whether He loved you or not, but now the grace of heaven has come, and you are praying prayers that declare, He loves me. And because you know He loves you, you're praying He loves them. And you're praying prayers of a revelation of love, not prayers that are trying to get shame off of your life anymore. Come on, it's been growing. So your life is built on faith. He loves me. I want you to go home and look in every mirror that you can today. And when you look in the mirror, I want you to see, He loves me. You really love me. And when you see, look a little deeper. Okay, go watch Lion King, right? Look a little deeper. You got the eyes of your father. Look a little deeper. God lives in you. And you were born to be loved by Him. You will hear Him more clearly when you know how much He loves you. Get your mirror healed. Get your flowers healed. Pick a few. He loves me. 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 If you got a he loves me, he loves me not flower, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Get a tree of life flower. Go pick one. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Okay. Or, come on, those of you that have a little white hair, how many of you got grandkids? All right. You got little grandkids. Somebody got some little grandkids. They work really well for the he loves me thing. Because they got a one revelation. And the revelation is, Grandpa loves me. Grandma loves me. That's the whole world. Whoa, you really love me, don't you? Okay. Now you need to get that revelation. Okay. So faith, he loves me. Second, hope. Get Friday night's message and get the full details on it. But hope is this. Hope is like a precious stone. Because of the grace of God that's working in you, hope is entered in like this. Romans 5:1-5. By faith we enter into grace. In grace we experience persecution, pressure. And then we persevere. And that word persevere means to cheerfully endure. When pressure comes against you, now what does it look like? You are not what you say you are. That's the pressure. And you say, I was born to be loved. And because I was born to be loved, you said, I'm going to love you, God. I was born to be loved, but now I'm born again. I love you, God. So I'm enduring. I'm coming through pressure. I love you, God. Here I am. Here I am. I love you. And then you persevere. You cheerfully endure. Persevere means to cheerfully endure. Say it. Persevere means to cheerfully endure. Persevere does not mean endure. It means cheerfully endure. That's the Greek word. It always has cheerful in it. If you haven't found the cheerful, you're only standing in misery, hoping you will win. Cheerfulness is a decision. It's a choice. I'm going to cheerfully endure. You need to find something to cheerfully endure about. I remember digging a ditch in Mississippi, Biloxi, Mississippi, digging a ditch. The gnats were so thick, my arms were turning black. You wipe the gnats off, wipe the gnats off. I wrote a song, and here's why I wrote the song. I found something to cheerfully endure about. I didn't say, forget this job, I'm not doing this job. I had a revelation. Somebody's got to dig the flipping ditch. I'm a humanoid. I might as well be the one who digs the ditch. They're going to pay me money to dig the ditch. Well, I don't want to dig the ditch. Well, then you're not going to get the money to dig the ditch. Well, then I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go and sell flowers. Well, there's more money digging the ditch. Yeah, but I don't want to dig the ditch. Okay, then go do something that you don't get paid as much. But if you want to get paid a bit more, you're going to have to cheerfully endure a bit more. Okay, now I wrote a song. It was an ordinary morning. The sun was on the rise. Could have been a day to stay at home. Could have gone to the beach to please this old man. But there was a job that needed to be done. This was 46 years ago. Determination was before me. Commitment to the job I stood upon. But what helped me the most was my brother at my side with a shovel in his hand to see me through. See, I got a revelation. I'm not the only one in the ditch. And he needs me to use my shovel right now because the gnats are driving us nuts. Sometimes you got to cheerfully endure a few gnat bites to overcome. But then what happens? As you cheerfully endure, you begin to manifest who you really are, character and hope. That's what Romans 5 says, hope. You're a one and only precious stone. You reveal an attribute of God because you know how to overcome in the midst of pressure. That gives hope to somebody else. You are hope. So you are faith, hope, You know what? That's a testimony of who you really are. Of who you really are. You shine. And then the third one is love. But not a revelation that he loves you, nor even an empowerment for you to love him. A revelation that he loves you will give you faith. A revelation that you love him will prove that you have hope. And you'll be revealed as a precious stone, who you really are. But what about the ability to love one another? The third kind of stone in the house were cut stones. But they weren't cut in the temple. They were cut out in the rock quarry. And they were cut to fit with other stones. Now here's how it works. The sound of worship in the Old Testament gives it away. God is great. That's faith. God is good. That's hope. His mercy endures forever. That'll make you able to fit with other stones. See, if you don't have a revelation that God is great, you're going to have a hard time getting a revelation that you were born to be loved by him. Because in your mind, he's not so great. If you don't have a revelation that God is good, you won't overcome in difficult circumstance, and you'll have a hard time being hope. You'll have a hard time loving him because you won't believe he's good. But then you're going to have to get a revelation that his mercy endures forever, or you're going to have a hard time fitting with other stones. Because you can't cut the stones in the temple. And the only way you're going to be able to fit with other stones is if you are merciful. It isn't about shaping them to match you. It's about you being willing to match them. But you're going to have a revelation of love. So Jesus Christ is the foundation of your marriage. And in that is going to have to be faith, hope, and love. Faith, you realize in your marriage, in your widowhood, in your singleness, in this church family, in your business, in your life, you were born to be loved. God is great. And then you're going to have a revelation. Not only were you born to be loved, you were born again to love him. You are a one and only. And the pressures of life are only proving who you really are. You are manifesting as not just having hope, but being hope. You are the one who shines because God is good. And then you're going to have a revelation in your marriage, in your singlehood, in this community, in life, that God is merciful. His mercy endures forever. Because now you're going to be able to love others. And it seems to me this church has progressed from being a hearing church to being a doing church to being a living church. And God has called us now to be a giving church. And I'm telling you today prophetically, he wants to give you another revelation of how merciful he is so that you can fit with other stones. So in the mirror, see he loves me. In the mirror, see I love you. And in the mirror, see, wow, I'm merciful because you're merciful. Would you give us a right perspective as City Life Church, as your temple, the temple of your presence, God, and would you give us a right perspective as individuals in this mountain of life? Would you heal our mirrors so that we see these things? You're doing it whether we realize it or not. Help us to get in agreement with you, Holy Spirit, as you've been working in us and through us. Give us a revelation of these enduring things, faith, hope, and love, so that our prayers are prayers of faith, so that our praise are testimonies of true hope, and so that our perseverance is a perseverance of love. I pray this in Jesus' name for each and every one of us. Whatever miracles needed in this house, whatever miracles needed in relationships, whatever miracles needed for us to be the place of you, heal it today in Jesus' name. Amen.